So tonight we're going to be talking about Bedikas Tola'im. So first let's talk about the basic halachic requirements, and then we'll talk about the practical. So we all know that the Torah says that you are not allowed to eat bugs. That is clear and straightforward. It's certainly a significant Torah prohibition. So as such, we certainly would like to avoid it. What's less clear is what one has to do to practically avoid eating them. Meaning to say, nobody here would ever consider taking a bug and eating it, or even eating some type of fruit or vegetable where you could see the bug and eating it. So the question is, what do we do when there are no bugs that are clearly and obviously visible? What are our responsibilities to make sure that we don't consume bugs? So let's say you know there is a bug here somewhere, but you don't know where it is. And if you were looking at it, you would see it. Somebody said, look, over there's a bug, you would see it, but otherwise you're not going to encounter it because it's hard to spot, like on a piece of lettuce or a broccoli or the like. And you eat it. You eat somewhere in this head of broccoli, there's a bug or two or three or four, and you eat the whole broccoli. And you know that there was there. Did you violate an Isser D'oraisa or not? So this is a debate among poskim. Some poskim say, yes, of course, there's a bug here. If you ate it, so that's an Isser D'oraisa. Others say, no, the bug is bata, mid D'oraisa. Those who are machmir say, how could you say it's bata? If I'm looking at it, I'll see it. Bittel is only possible when something is not nikar. It is not noticeable. It's not recognizable. For example, if you have three pieces of meat, two are kosher, one is not kosher, but they are all cow's meat. They're totally identical visually. So then we'll say, certainly midiraisa, maybe derabanan, depending, that they're bato. The isser is bato. But if I could tell if you had two pieces of beef and one piece of ham, so you could tell which is ham and which is beef. Obviously, there's not bittel. Bittel assumes that when you look at it, you can't see that it's there. So therefore, if I were to look at this bug, I would see it. So how could I say there's bittel? That's the reason for the machmirim. The mekilim say, no, still, since under normal circumstances, you wouldn't see it. It's true, if somebody pointed it out to you, you would notice it. But in normal circumstances, you wouldn't see it, therefore it is bata. So even if you know there's a bug, there's a machlokas. Are we dealing with an Isser D'oraisa or an Isser D'rabanan? Now this debate, which is a machlokas achronim, the Chazon Ish and Chachmas Adam seem to be machmir, the Aruch HaShulchan and others seems to be mekel, happens to be that this debate is behind a lot of the differences in practical guidelines in different poskim and different kashrus organizations. For example, the Starkey thinks you don't need to check, let's say, you don't need a hechsher on frozen broccoli. Now, why is that? A number of reasons, but one of them is because fundamentally they think that the Aruch HaShulchan is right. I think maybe everybody would agree in that case, but the Aruch HaShulchan's right. So we're not dealing with a potential Isser D'oraisa. And therefore, there's more room for leniency. The OU is machmir on that shaila, and therefore there are more stringencies. They think, for example, that you can't buy frozen broccoli without hechsher. That would be, by the way, if we held like the Starkey, that would be the end of the tuition crisis, because we would save so much money, we wouldn't have to buy bodeg broccoli. We could easily, you know, solve the tuition problem. Okay. Now, another question. Okay. That we'll leave that aside now. Why? Because that's not going to be so important for us, because even if it turns out that mid-d'oraisa is bato, this bug that's in this broccoli, Midrabanan, it's not batel, at least according to most opinions, the ones that we accept. Why? Because there's a principle called birya. What birya means is when you have a whole intact object, like a bug, whole intact bug, then it's not batel midrabanan at the very least. Again, maybe even midrais, it's not batel because it's visually identifiable. But even if you say it's batel midrais, midrabanan, it's not batel because it's a birya, it's a whole object. And therefore, this bug in my broccoli or my lettuce or the like is not batel. Therefore, if I know there's a bug in this broccoli, I may not eat the broccoli until I check to make sure the bug isn't there. Great. But what about if I don't know there's a bug broccoli? I go ahead and I buy broccoli from Key Food. Is there a bug in this head of broccoli? I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. So what do I have to do now? So here, there's midoraisa, it's fine. According to everybody, I could eat the broccoli without checking it. What's the reason? Because you follow Rove. Al pi Rove, are most heads of broccoli infested? No. If al pi Rove, most heads of broccoli had bugs in it, then you could not, even a deraisa level. If it was 50-50, then again, assuming, we're going to assume for now the stringent view of the Chazon Ish in our first question, right? Which is, if it's here, and you know about it, we're going to assume it is an Isser deraisa, not like the Archa Shulchan. So if it's 50-50, if there's a bug in this broccoli or not, again, mid-deraisa, you'd have to check the broccoli. Why? Safek deraisa l'chumra. But let's say more than 50% of heads of broccoli are not infested. How much, what percentage are infested? We'll talk about it later. But it's not 50%. In the winter, at most, it's 10%. In the summer, it might be higher. So let's say 20% infested. So midiraisa, I'm okay. I'll pee rove. This head of broccoli doesn't have a bug in it. However, midrabanan, they were misakein, they instituted that if there's, this too is a debate, but this is the bottom line halacha, that if there's a miyot hamatsui, then you have to check. What does miyot hamatsui mean? Miyot hamatsui means a common likelihood of there being a bug here. The actual discussion of this is in trefos. Do you have to check for certain types of trefos? If there's a common chance that there's a trefa here, you have to check, see if it actually is trefa or not. But likewise, when it comes to bugs, if there's a miut hamatsui, so we'll have to define what miut hamatsui is. For now, we're going to say 10%. We'll get to that later. But if there's a miut hamatsui, if 10%, and then you have to ask, of what, right? But for now, we'll assume heads of broccoli. Those are both assumptions we'll question later. But for now, we'll assume that. If 10% of heads of broccoli have bugs, then you'd have to check. Which means that if in every 10 heads of broccoli, there's one bug, you'd have to check. Now, that's true. In every 10 heads of broccoli, there's probably going to be one bug, which would mean you have to check any one you do. Is that a chiyuv deraisa? No. B'deraisa, you follow Rove. Is a chiyuv derabanan? Yes. So if you didn't do it, let's say you ate the broccoli without checking, what iser did you violate? The chiyuv, you were mevatel, the chiyuv bedika, the chiyuv derabanan to check. We don't want to violate derabanan. Now let's say somebody didn't do this. They didn't realize that you had to check broccoli. Or they thought you didn't. All the people that say you did, in the old country, we never checked broccoli. Whatever it is. So they didn't check broccoli. And they serve it to you. So what do you do now? Well, if you could check it still, you'd have to check it. Let's say you can't check it. Why? Because it's now in the form of broccoli kugel. And it's impossible to check broccoli kugel. Or it's in a soup. Impossible to check, you know, vegetable soup with little pieces of broccoli. Impossible to check broccoli soup. Or all sorts of things. So right now, I can't really check it anymore. So what's the halacha? So in that case, the Shulchan Aruch says, based off of the Rashba, you could have it. You could eat it. You could eat this broccoli kugel. Why? Because you could rely on the rov. Al pi rov, it's okay. We said there's a chiyuv derabanan to check. That's when you can check. But if you can't check, then there's no longer a chiyuv derabanan to check. The rabbanan only said check when you can check. So whoever made the broccoli kugel might have messed up by not checking. But that's irrelevant for me, because I didn't make the broccoli kugel. I'm just at their house when they serve the broccoli kugel. So for me, can I check? No, can't check anymore. It's impossible to check broccoli kugel for bugs. Right, you know, you might want to look at your fork when you put it in your mouth, but practically speaking, you can't check it. You won't be able to tell what's a bug anymore and what's a piece of broccoli and what's this, what's that. So now, I could eat it. Why? Reason number one, since you can no longer check, you could always follow rov. I'll give you another example. This past Shabbos here at the Kiddush, so they served baked goods. And somebody asked me, were these baked goods made with filtered water? So I said, I don't know. It's possible they weren't. But you could eat them anyway. What do you mean, why weren't they? Because, as we'll talk about later today, there's machlokas aposkim whether you have to filter the water in New York. Many poskim are mekel, many poskim are machmir. Let's take the example. The Vaad of Riverdale is mekel. The Rav HaMachshir, the head posek of the Vaad of Riverdale, is Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig thinks you don't have to filter water in New York. Okay, so it's possible that they were made with unfiltered water. However, water that can be checked, if you think you need a check for bugs in water, filter for bugs, that's a machlokas. But let's assume you follow the machmir view. Schachter thinks you should. David Feinstein thinks you should. Right? So now, that water over there, I just filled up those two pitchers from the sink. They were made with unfiltered water. Could we check? Yeah, we could check. If we have time tonight, I'll even show you. We'll see if we find any bugs. The easier way to check for, if you want to see if you have copepods in your sink, by the way, is just to take like a piece of cloth, put it under your, tie it to your faucet, run the faucet for 5 minutes. Then you'll have like a lot of water, a lot of bugs. Take it, empty it out onto like a cup, hold the cup up to the light, and then you'll see the copepods. Anyway, you might not. Maybe your water is clean. But if you want to actually see copepod, that's very helpful because that way... if you're curious, I'm not saying you have to do this. Take a cloth, like an undershirt. Tie it to your faucet. So now that's going to run the water for 5 minutes. Now there's like many, many gallons of water being filtered through your cloth. So if there are copepods, it'll catch it. It's not just going to be one cup. It's going to be hundreds of cups. Then you take that little piece of undershirt, shake it out into a cup. Take the cup, make sure it's a clean glass, hold it up to the light. You'll see little, you might see, little white specks. It's hard to see that they're actually bugs. They look like little white fluff. And then, those are the, if you want, those might be copepods. Now, if you have really good vision, I couldn't do this. You might be able to tell that they're bugs, but I couldn't. But if you want to see that they're bugs, look at them with magnification, those white specks, and you'll see they're copepods. Now, do you have to worry about them? Are they too small? We'll get to that later. And anyways, but let's say you're machmir to filter your water. You're machmir. Good. So this guy who asked me at the Kiddush, he was machmir to filter his water. And maybe these goods were made with unfiltered water. So he wanted to know, could I have the cookies? What's the answer? According to what we just said? Yes. Why? Because you can't check it anymore. You can hold the cookie to the light and see a copepod? Impossible. Can't check a cookie for bugs. At least copepods. Good. So now, you could eat the cookies, assuming al pi rov it's okay. Al pi rov it's okay. That's reason number one. Reason number two, the Rashba says, if you didn't check it. Guys, I see there are a lot of questions. Please do me a favor. Write them down. I don't want you to forget. But I want to get through the basics. I might answer your question. And then take all questions. Bli neder, then we'll go to the practical. Okay. So, if you go ahead and you... second reason, and this is not always applicable, but let's say you cooked it, right? You took the broccoli. You didn't check the broccoli. You cut it up. You put it into a vegetable soup. Now it's too late to check it. Okay. Now, there's actually a sfeik sfeika. Suffik if there was a bug here in the first place, if not. The imtim tzalomer, there was a bug here in the first place. Maybe over the course of cooking, it got broken up. Now it's no longer a birya. And once it's not a birya, once it's not a whole complete bug, it happens to be bata. That would work even if al pi rov the bug in the first place, because there'd still probably be a sfeik sfeika. Okay. So that, the halacha, therefore, is that the chiyuv derabanan to check is only stated when you can check. Once you can no longer check, it's mutter. And we'll get to these details later, but this is very practical when you're eating at somebody else's house, who you're concerned might not have the same standards as you do when it comes to bedikas tolayim. You know their food is kosher, but maybe when it comes to bedikas tolayim, they're not up, they don't have the same standards as you. So, that doesn't help you for things that could still be checked. If you have lettuce salad, say without salad dressing, you could still check the lettuce in theory. So then you couldn't eat that lettuce without checking. But if we're talking about spinach kugel, or broccoli kugel, or the like, all sorts of vegetable soups, all sorts of things that are no longer checkable, so then you couldn't. Same thing with the water. Anything that they made with this water, even if you're machmir to have only filtered water, anything that they made with this water, you could eat. But you couldn't drink the water. If they made water into lemonade, maybe you could. Can't check lemonade. It's too hard. Only if it's clear. Probably couldn't filter it either. Right? So that's the basic halacha. Now, let's say the vegetable soup was made with or without being properly checked. And then you're eating a bowl of vegetable soup and you look, oh, there's a bug. Still okay. Oh, another bug. You're still okay? It was just coincidence. Once you find three bugs, the soup's asr. Why? Because now this soup is muchzak betolayim. Some opinions will say two, some will say three. So that's, what does that mean? It means presumably if you found three bugs in this soup, probably a lot more than three bugs. It doesn't just happen to be that these are the only three bugs. So you couldn't eat the rest of the soup without checking it. And if so, you know, you could probably maybe like look carefully at each and every bite you took. But most likely in a practical sense, you would not finish the soup. Okay. So, to sum up, there are, let's say, four categories of vegetables. Category number one is vegetables that do not have a miyut hamatzoi. And what we're calling that now is less than 10%. They don't have a miyut hamatzoi. And we'll define this 10% later. So then you don't have to check them at all, even though sometimes they might. There are lots of vegetables in this category, right? You don't, you know, every so often, just about anything that grows from the ground might be infested, but you don't have to worry about it because the chances are sufficiently low that you're not chayav to do a check. Good. So that's many, many vegetables, like cucumbers and peppers and tomatoes and the like. By the way, different countries do have different levels of infestation. You should keep that in mind. For example, we'll be discussing infestation in America tonight. Israel has higher levels of infestation, and therefore, whatever we say tonight should not assume to be true necessarily in other countries. So keep that in mind. That's also why some of the guidebooks that come from Eretz Yisrael, like Rabbi Vai's book, are based off of research in Eretz Yisrael, which doesn't necessarily apply to America, where generally rates of infestation are lower. Okay, so number one, less than 10%, nothing to worry about. Even if, again, every so often, who knows, you know, tomatoes or cucumbers, you know, apples, every so often, you know, you cut an apple in half and maybe there'll be a worm, right? So does that mean you can't bite into an apple? No, you can. You don't have to worry. So less than 10%, nothing to talk about, don't you? Okay, if there is 10% or more infestation, 10% through 49%, that's level B, 10 to 49, so then there's a chiyuv derabbanan to do a bedikah. If you can. If you can't, it's mutter. What about if you can, but it's really difficult? And it's so difficult that it's not worth bothering to check, like Brussels sprouts. So this is a machlokas haposkim. Some poskim say, look, have to check. If you don't want to check, can't eat it. That's probably the majority opinion. Others say no. They were only misakin to do it if you can, or you can do it reasonably. But if it's going to be very difficult and basically not worth eating, if you, once you have to do this level of inspection, then it's okay. Who is of the latter opinion? So I want to know, there's an excellent book on this topic. The most famous book on this topic was written by Rabbi Vai. His main one is in Hebrew, Bedikas Tolaim Kehilchasa. There's pictures and lots of excellent articles, and he was machmir on the Shaila. He was one of the people that got this issue of bugs on the map. Nobody was worried about it to a large degree, and he did a lot of research. He was a big Talmud Chacham, and he also happens to be very machmir. There's another book which happens to argue for a much more lenient position on many of these Shailas, entitled Lachem Yeh Lochla, and it's written by Rav Eitam Henkin, Hashem Yikom Damo. He was the one who was recently killed. He was shot while driving home. And he argues for leniency. The Chiyuv Derabbanan of Bedika was said when it's not exceeding difficult. But if it's exceedingly difficult and tedious, so then they were never misakin. So if you go back to the Ikar Adin, and if it's Alpi Rov Mutter, it's Mutter. But as I said, I think the mainstream view is to be machmir on this shaila. Okay. So that's category two. Again, category two is 10 to 49%. Then if you can do a bedika, you must do a bedika. But if you can't do a bedika, so then it's mutter. Category number three is 50-50. So then it depends. If it's already, again, assuming we're machmir in that first shaila, going back to the Chazon Ish, right? So there we have a suffix de oraisa. We'd have to be machmir. 50-50, you have to be machmir. But even here, if it's cooked, we would be mekel. Why? Because we have a sveik sveika. 50-50, maybe there was a bug here in the first place, maybe there wasn't. Imtim Salomar, there was a bug, maybe it got smushed in the process of cooking, and now no longer a birya. And finally, category number four is muhsak bitolayim. Most likely there's a bug here. Then we would say, even if it's cooked, it's asr. Okay, so those are the four categories of halachos. So now we have to define what is a muhsak amir hamatzoi, right? like we said, the chiyuv de rabbanan to check is stated when there's a mi'ira matzoi. What is a mi'ira matzoi? So the rivash sounds like only slightly less than half. Sounds like from the rivash 30, 40% infestation, 20% infestation for sure, you wouldn't be chayv to do a bedika. However, the view, there are other opinions, but the most widely accepted view is the Mishkan Os Yaakov, who says 10%. And that's the view that we accept lahalacha. 10%. 10% infestation must be checked. Less than 10% need not be checked. Now the biggest question, Rav Vosner, just if you're interested, has a more subjective approach. Does it seem like a lot? Does it seem matzoi? Chazal didn't give a percentage. They said matzoi is a common. But we are going to accept the view of 10%. Okay. The biggest question is 10% of what? 10% of what? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said he's not actually sure. It's hard to know. But he thinks probably the most reasonable unit is the whole thing. So a head of lettuce, or a head of broccoli, or cauliflower, or the like. If in this head of lettuce there's a 10% chance there's a bug, then you have to check. So that means, quite a machmir view, that means practically that if on average in 10 heads of lettuce there's one bug, you need a check. Right? 10 heads of broccoli, there's one bug, you need a check. We don't look at the crate. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman's view. Rushechter, more makel. Schechter thinks, and there are others as well, but I'm going to cite the most. Schechter says 10% of serving size. How much you're going to eat at a regular meal, or at this meal, right? So, how much lettuce is that? I don't know, 3-4 ounces? Whatever it is, broccoli, 3-4 ounces, whatever, 10% of that. For example, when it comes to water, right, checking. So how much water does a person typically have at a meal? Let's say 16 ounces. Good. So that means if in every 160 ounces of water, there's one bug, you'd have to check the water. And since nobody wants to bother checking the water, you'll have to filter the water. That's Rushachter's view. Now, if you're dealing with something where much less water is consumed, so then you don't have to worry. Let's say, according to Schechter, you want to know about brushing your teeth. So, anyway, you don't really swallow the water. But let's even say you did. How much water is on your toothbrush, right? A tenth of an ounce? So ten, the serving size then, and how much do you swallow? You don't even swallow that. But let's even assume you swallow 1/10 of 1 ounce. It's probably like 1/100 of an ounce. I don't even know. But 1/100 of an ounce of water when you brush your teeth. Okay? So 10% of 1/100 of an ounce is 1/10 of an ounce. So is there one copepod in 1/10 of an ounce on average? No, not even close. So then you don't have to worry. Okay, good. Then there's the, so Rav Schechter is the moderate view. 10% of serving size. Rav Willig, and others as well, is the most mako. He says 10% of every bite. So this, why? Because I want to know, can I eat this bite? Right? If it's a strawberry, so let's say you eat one strawberry at a time. Is there a 10% chance that this strawberry has a bug? Or like a quarter of a piece of lettuce, right? Whatever, because that's your question. Can I eat this bite of lettuce? So that's okay. Right? That's the... that's Rav Willig. Now, so if you hold like Rav Willig, it's going to be much, much, much more mako than if you hold of, let's say, the other extreme, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Right, let's take broccoli. So I told you, broccoli in the winter in the United States, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, has about 10% infestation. So that means in every 10 heads of broccoli, there's about one bug. But for Rav Willig, in order to have to check the broccoli, you need for every 10 bites of broccoli to have one bug. That's obviously much, much, much less. Happens to be the rate of infestation of broccoli in the summer is higher, but I'm just giving you an example. Okay. So that question is also going to be very practical. and how you follow, obviously, you should all consult your local posting. Now, one last point. Let's say, we said before, if the bug is crushed up or the like, then it's batel, right? What about, am I allowed to crush the bug, so therefore I don't have to check? So if your intention is to be mevatel v'yisr l'chatchila, the answer is no, you may not. You can't be mevatel v'yisr. But let's say I want to crush the bugs, not because I want to get rid of the bugs. That's what I'm interested in having. I'm interested in having a raspberry smoothie. Yum, raspberry smoothie with fresh raspberries. Problem is, raspberries are full of bugs. I only tried checking raspberries once, and I found tons of bugs. Once we had a Shabbos guest. I never would buy raspberries because they're known to be problematic. But once we had a Shabbos guest who came, and as a gift, they came and gave us some fresh raspberries. No. So I went ahead and did what they recommend, which is take like a black piece of cardboard, of construction paper, and dump them on that thing, and then look at the paper. And if you did, you could see all sorts of things walking on that construction. You wouldn't see it otherwise. So that was it. So I felt a little bad, but I said, we can't serve this. But anyway, so I want to make a smoothie with, now you might not be interested in this anymore now that you know what I just told you. But let's say you want a smoothie with fresh raspberries. So that's okay. Why? That's not bittul iser l'chatchila, because you're not crushing the raspberries because you're trying to chop up the bugs. You're crushing the raspberries because you want a smoothie. So assuming you have a blender that is capable of chopping up raspberries to the point that the bugs would be crushed up. So you have to have a good blender. You have a ninja. Oh, a good blender. So ninjas will chop up any bugs. So now, that's okay. No problem. Right? Why? Because my kavana isn't to be mevatel. My kavana is to make a smoothie. That's why, by the way, you have raspberry jam with a hechsher. Otherwise, do you think they check the raspberries for raspberry jam? No. They want to make raspberries. Raspberry jam. In the process of making it, because of the cooking and the like, it's going to be broken up in batel. Since they're not mechavein levatel, so it's okay. That's why you also can't find raspberry jam with the badatz on it. Okay, now I'm just going to talk a little bit about practical guidelines, then I'll take questions, then we'll go over and we'll do things tachlis. Okay, so let's start with lettuce. So first of all, I'm going to refer to some different books here so you can know what they are. I have in front of me the OU Manual for Checking, 3rd edition, and 1st edition. There are some changes. I'll talk about that shortly. I have from in front of me, which you get online for free, the CRC Fruit and Vegetable Policy. Also online, the CRC has a video where they do demonstrations of checking things like romaine and the like, so you could watch it. And that is, there's also, which I didn't bring here, Revised Sefer and others. This book doesn't really talk about the practical stuff, it's just more the theory. Okay. So let's start with romaine lettuce. This is not just romaine lettuce. It's true for lots of lettuces. Open leaf lettuce. Open leaf lettuce is obviously more of a problem because something that's very tightly packed, like iceberg lettuce, so it's lower levels of infestation because the bugs don't get in as much. When it's open leaf, there's more room for them to crawl around and burrow their way in. That's why cabbage is less problematic than lettuce, especially after you get past the outer leaves and the like. Okay, so what do you do? So I'm just going to read you what the OU book says, and then I'm going to tell you my own personal opinion. So this includes bib, bok choy, Boston butter, lettuce, chicory, Chinese lettuce, green lettuce, red leaf, romaine, watercress, etc., etc., etc. So let's talk about romaine. That's the most common. So what kind of bugs are there? Aphids and thrips. These are small green bugs, hence they're hard to find. their camouflage. Often insects may be found between the innermost layers of leaves of an infested head. Therefore, each leaf, must be washed and checked individually. The use of a light box is helpful. Extremely helpful, to be precise, it says. It's okay? Extremely helpful. Fine. Occasionally, worms can be found burrowed within the body of the lettuce. Look for a narrow, translucent burrow speckled with black dots, breaking up the deep green color of the leaf. These burrows will often trap the worm within the leaf. To rid the leaf of these worms, carefully slit the bumpy part within the burrow with a sharp knife and remove the worm. Okay. So what do they do practically? That's the concern. Practically, number one, cut off the lettuce base and separate the leaves from one another. You know what? Once we're at it, where's the lettuce? Okay. Base. Now, I noticed here you've got really geschmack lettuce. It's like really old looking and very not tight. It's good. That's what makes sense to get for this. It happens to be, what is this? What kind of, okay. So now, it happens to be that for home use, I would highly recommend getting romaine hearts. Romaine hearts are much cleaner because they don't have any of the outer stuff. It's just the hearts. It's more tightly packed. Grade A romaine hearts are much, much less likely to have a problem. But for this purposes, maybe we'll even find a bug. So step number one, we're going to cut off the bottom. Okay, good. So discard this. I don't eat it anyway. Then you're going to go ahead and you'll take off all the leaves. Great. Separated all the leaves. Wonderful. Gonna have to go cut off the bottom again. Throw it out. Okay. Now I have lots of leaves. Wonderful. Okay. Right, so the inner, this is like, this part, the inner part would have been the romaine heart. Now, happens to be that you'll already see, well, we'll get it. Okay. Now, that's step one, right? Okay, so far so good? Step two, soak the leaves in a cold water solution with vegetable wash. So you could use vegetable wash, some of you rot. You could use soap also, dish soap. The proper amount of vegetable wash has been added when some bubbles are observed in the water. Or several drops of concentrated, non-scented liquid detergent may be used. Okay. If you use detergent, make sure you wash it off. Okay, so now I take this lettuce, I put it in a bowl of cold water with the soap or vegetable wash. Number three, agitate the leaves in the soapy solution. Okay? So this I'm not going to actually demonstrate. We could do it. Maybe we'll do it a little bit. You know what? Let's do it a little bit. Why not? Now, use this bowl. Okay. So, tell you the truth, when I do this at home, I use soap, because we don't have vegetable wash. So I'm not even used to using vegetable wash. But you can, probably even makes more sense. So I don't even know how much to put, because I'm always used to putting soap. But I don't know how much, that's probably too much, right? Find out. It says that you know you put enough if there's bubbles on top. As I said, same thing with soap. As we'll see at the end, you have to wash it off really well. Anytime you wash it off really well, as you're supposed to, you won't taste the soap residue anyway. And since we all have soap at home, then you could use soap without a problem. So this is vegetable wash. So everybody is satisfied. We have bubbles on the top, right? Good. So we have enough. So we're going to now put some of these in. Not going to put the whole thing in because we don't have enough water. Okay? Agitate. Great. Okay. Next step. Now the next step we're actually not going to really be able to do properly, which is spread each leaf, taking care to expose all its curls and crevices using a powerful stream of water or water hose. Remove all foreign matter and soap from both sides. Or you could brush off with a brush, vegetable brush. For purposes of romaine lettuce, just use your sink. Take it under the sink and wash it. Okay? Now, you want to wash all, put under your stream, everything. Now, this is much easier, it happens to be, with romaine hearts. This is like a very, not a hard lettuce, but anyway. So you need to wash all parts under your stream of water. To do that, you would really need a sink. So now, what I do when I do this at home, because this takes a while to wash each one under the sink, under the stream, especially if you want to do a lot, I take off the aerator from my sink. And then you have about four times as much water pressure as if you have the aerator on. The aerator is the thing on top, you unscrew it. You're not supposed to use a sink without an aerator because they want you to conserve water. If you go to industrial kitchens, you'll see there's no aerators on the sink. They go much, much more water comes out much quicker. And if you do that, then it just goes much quicker because there's much greater water pressure. And the water pressure, in fact, will cause the leaf, which sort of curls up, to spread out. So you wash it under a thorough stream of water. Okay? So we're not going to do that now, but you can imagine, you take this under the sink, flip it over to the other side. Okay, now I want to make sure that all of it is under the water. So here I have to sort of unfold it a little bit. As it folds up, wash it under the water. Okay, as I said, with romaine hearts it's a little easier, but they still curl up. And as I said, if you take off your aerator, it goes much quicker. Okay, now, what's next? So let's imagine I did that. Okay, now I washed under a sink. Okay, so according to the OU book, that was step 4. Step 5, leaves should be checked over a light box or under strong overhead lighting to verify if the washing procedure was effective. Pay careful attention to the folds and crevices in the leaf where insects have been known to be found. Okay, good. Now, then they tell you about a chazaka check. Chazaka checks are used commonly in commercial settings, but aren't so helpful in home settings because we don't usually check enough things to have a chazaka check. If you're checking a lot of lettuce, so then it says 3 heads or handfuls of leaves from different areas of the bin should be checked. And then if they're checked, and the 3 heads are checked, so then you don't have to check the rest, right? Now that's great. If you want your caterer, and you sometimes wonder, caterer, they're like, lettuce for hundreds and hundreds of people. You think they check it all? No. They could do a chazaka check, so they check 3 heads of lettuce or 3 handfuls of lettuce. If those were fine, then the whole thing is fine. So that's very helpful for a commercial setting. For your home setting, it's not so helpful because you're usually not going to use more than 3 heads of lettuce anyway. So, but it's true. If you were making Shavu Brachos and you needed 10 heads of lettuce, you could check just 3. Now then there's a line here in the OU book, which is perplexing. And it makes you wonder what they're talking about. It says, our experience has shown that if the leaves are washed properly, no insects will be found. Has anyone checked lettuce? Yeah. Following these procedures? Yeah. Have you ever found bugs?
Once.
Okay. Now, so was it 10% of what you checked? No. Certainly. So, on the OU video, which you can't find online, but you could buy online, they talk about this. And the guy says, I don't remember what it is, that he says he's checked hundreds of things. He almost never, ever found anything after proper washing. Well, if that's true, if what all you're saying is correct, if what they say here is correct, then why in the world do you need a check?
We're washing it. If you pick up that water,
you're a lambda. So you're saying that you're... No, it's a lambda. You're saying that there's a chovas bedika that's chal in the chafza. That's what you're saying. You're saying that since before I washed, there was 10% infestation, so that's machayiv me to check. So I'm not such a lambda. I'm going to say, but who cares? After I washed, is it... Good, so then why do I have to check again? What do I need the light box for? Right? So there might be one posek that thinks that it's chal mechefta. The OU rejects that. The OU agrees that if after washing, it's less than 10%, you don't have to check. So then why do they have to write it? So the answer is, this is what somebody told me, I asked them to ask the OU this question, and what the OU told them was they made up this gzeira. Why? They're being very responsible. They're saying, look, not everybody's going to wash properly. And if you don't wash properly, then there might be bugs. So therefore, they tell people to check. But the truth of the matter is, if you wash properly, and I don't think there's reason to suspect you don't wash properly, it's not hard to wash properly, then you don't have to check. That's my opinion. You don't have to follow my opinion. You follow what the OU says. The OU says you have to check afterwards. You ask me, I don't see any reason why to check. As long as you wash properly, washing properly does take time. As I said, but you have to do each leaf. But once you did wash properly, you don't have to check. Okay? Now, there's another way of doing this, which is instead of checking the leaves, you could check the water. I happen to think that the best way to do it, easiest way to do it is, like I said, is to do it this way, wash each leaf, and then I don't even think you need to check them afterwards, but if you want to, you can check it. But the alternative is to check the water. So what we'll do is we're going to carefully take these out. If you look at the CRC video, I'm carefully making sure that if there are any bugs, they won't get stuck on this. Right? If you look at the way they do it on the CRC video, they say check the water. And checking the water is sometimes easier. We're going to do that for the broccoli. Okay. Now, so let's go and check the water. Okay.
You still use a stream of water to wash.
Take a look at the CRC video. This is the way, let me just read it to you how they say to do it. Okay, CRC video. This is the CRC thing. Here we are. Lettuce. Go. Maybe they do it by the... Okay. Here we are. Romaine lettuce, not pre-washed. Oh, they don't tell you here. Yeah. So your question was, do you have to wash it afterwards? Well, anyway, you'd want to.
No, before, because then you're going to get the water if you come out.
No, it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want before, and then you do it. So now we're going to go ahead, and that's why you want to do it in a clear bowl, so you'll be able to see. And we're going to go over to the side now and look. We're going to just use, I brought a lamp, since the lighting in here is lousy, and we'll check. So